So let's go from that beautiful place of coherence, write it back inside. Feel the blessings and the grace that are yours. They're yours. You were born for this, to be here now, to receive, to have this mirror held up to you so that you can see your magnificence, your sacredness. Take a breath. And on the inside, say yes to your sacredness. And see what it's going to take for you to live in that. Allow it to circulate in you. Feel that sacredness moving through you, knowing that it's self-propulsion. It never has to end. That when you live in your sacredness, you honor your being, your reason for being. And you honor those ancestors and ancient ones that brought you here, that came before you, that made the path. And you honor those who shine a light on the path before you, as you continue to open to your own wisdom from within, with the support and the love and the honoring that comes from without.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. We're in a beautiful place. We're in a beautiful place where hearts are touched in ways that only can be done by a group. The idea of group dynamics in spiritual things has been well known. But the whole theme of this weekend has been delving into things that are not yet realized, and paradigms that are not upon you yet, but that we talk about. There is an expression that we have used in the past that says, a fool does not know he is a fool. And the expression is a metaphor for many things. But it means that whatever level you are of awareness, you cannot see above that. And if it's in a low awareness, and if indeed you're a fool, you have no idea you're one. Others around you do. And if you apply this to this weekend's teaching, you might say, am I a fool? And the answer is, you're not a fool. You're simply unaware yet. And that is a state of celebration, because it means that there are so many awarenesses that you simply have not seen. You haven't seen them. But in this entire area of unseen things, there's a trap. And the trap is a human one, and that is, you are so enamored with what might be there. Even though you cannot see it or imagine it, you want to postulate. Be aware that out of this new energy, there will be what I will call lots of postulation groups. And many will go off on tangents of what they believe might be there that isn't, and then start working toward a goal based upon what is unseen. And the only danger, the only trap that is there, dear ones, is you're so curious, and the intellect is so great, that you can get trapped in this place of wondering and being and doing and planning and miss the whole point. What good will it do for any human to sit and spin? Because if you do, you'll be a little too dizzy to meet the reality that actually should be yours. And you'll never know you're spinning. Because a fool does not know they're a fool. Brian, I don't understand anything you said. And what I'm really telling you, sit and be patient with the things that are unseen at this point. It does not help anyone to postulate and wonder and then plan around things you don't know. It keeps you from seeing the truth when it arrives. Because you don't expect what you don't expect. And there are truly things that don't fit in a linear paradigm that are coming. One of them I'll tell you about now. This is something mild, and yet it is something that you should know about because you've suspected it and even verbalized it, not understanding perhaps this is something you didn't expect that is here and available. And it has to do with the way you perceive yourself, your galaxy, your universe, your reality, and it has to do with time. How would you describe time to a child who says, "Please tell me, what is time?" And that is a difficult thing, is it not, to describe time without describing time? You might say, "Well, it's the ticks of the clock." And the child will say, "And what does that mean?" They're only sounds. And you would say, "Well, it's about the space between the ticks." And the child doesn't want to hear anymore. Time is something that is extremely elusive in the definition department. What makes it even more difficult, dear ones, is that it's only been in the last 50 years or so that you've had science look at it and say, "Well, against all odds, it's part of atomic structure. It's not a concept. You can touch it." Not only that, by altering parts of the things in physics regarding density and speed and mass, you can control it. It seems to slow down and speed up. Now that's a tough one to talk to the child about. When you finally get the idea of what time is, you're going to want to tell the child what time is it, how to tell time. Be sure not to tell the child that it's variable. Not yet. Because that will be a brain buster. You expect it not to change. You not only expect it not to change, you expect it to be a straight line. Everyone knows it's a straight line. It's like the train on a track. That if you're standing in one place on that track, a very straight line, everything in the past disappears into the distance in the history, and everything on the other side is where it's going. It's a straight line into the future, to the unknown. If you're on the train and it's moving, you're always moving through three elements, past, now, and future. But they're still isolated. Those intellectuals will say, "Well, the front of the train is in the future, the back of the train is in the past, the middle of the train is now." Isn't this interesting? But it's not a straight line, and never was. If you ask a physicist about time, they will say it's a difficult concept because it seems to fold back into itself in a certain way. It's really circular. It has to be to operate the way it does. Time is always in the now in a certain way, they may tell you, and that is difficult. But it is a circle. The circle is a rough one. It may be toroidal. It may be a different shape, but it folds back on itself. In other words, it always comes around to itself, like a circle would. Why am I telling you these things? Because suddenly, if you understand that that track of time is not a straight line, you have to start asking yourself intellectual time questions that are unanswerable. I've been here through 1,000 lifetimes, you would say. Would you identify how that might work in the circle of time? How big is the circle? And the answer is yes. All of you, as old souls, have been on this track of time for a very long time and have covered the same track over and over and over and over and over and over. The circle size depends upon the reality of those measuring. I won't say any more. But the biggest point is this, that if that track and that train is you, you have been covering the same ground over and over. Is that understandable? You're in a circle like a toy train. And you think it's linear, and it's not. You think it's a straight line. It's not. It goes around. So that means you have actually covered the same ground over and over. Now, that's oversimplification of how something very complex is perceived and works. But I want you to see this clearly because of what's coming. Question: if you're on the train in this particular track that I have just given you, and you look in front of you, are you looking at a pristine place in time you've never been, or have you been there before in some way? And the answer is, you've been there before in some way. Because remember, it's a toy train in a circle. Now you say, well, if that's the case, should I be able to recognize or feel anything in the future, perhaps, that I have been through? And I say to you, time does not work the way you think. It's not about your episodes. It's not about your karma. It's not about your past lives. It's about time being owned by you in a way that you are unaware of, except that you keep covering the same ground. You keep covering the same ground. Now, that should be confusing. It's not linear, so you can't say, well, I've been there, therefore I know what's going to happen. You see, haven't experienced certain layers of it. It's a multidimensional concept, time. So perhaps in that going around and around, you've only covered certain dimensions of it. And maybe the future is one you have not covered on the same track. Maybe the track is layered, and you've only been on 1,000 layers so far. But it's the same track. So part of this track ahead of you is familiar. It's a familiar track because you kind of know what it feels like to be there, even though it doesn't represent where you've been. But the strange anomaly of this paradigm of time truly is that as you look ahead, you're looking into your past. Now, is that confusing enough? Here's where we're going. Dear Spirit, you might say, I know my soul is multidimensional and I've been on this plan of Earth. The plan of past lives now for a long time. I may have 1,000 past lives in my karma, and I keep going on this track of time that Kryon is speaking about. And suddenly, I have a perception. And the perception is this. I am a multidimensional being, filled with the love of God, in control of my life. I am learning new paradigms of what is possible with this new engine of enlightenment, this spark that I have that is so much bigger than anything that I've ever seen before. I'm just beginning to learn what a creature of a higher level of consciousness can achieve. I've learned that what I think in a benevolent way can have coherence and others can be healed in a group. I've learned that I can sit in a theater and have coherence for other people, and they don't have to know I'm there or know my name, and they can feel the benevolence and feel better because of it. I've learned that these new gifts and tools are beyond the physics that I thought was there. Therefore, I have decided to bless my life in a new way. I'm going to take control of the track in front of me. And I'm going to send benevolence for myself, my soul, my life ahead of me wherever I go. Because you see, I've been there. And I'm going to do that with these new gifts in a way that I send myself into my own future, not knowing where I'm going, but knowing that when I get there, I will see my own prayers answered. Does that make sense? That's new. Not to some of you who regularly understand that you can have a benevolent prayer, if you wish, or energy, if you wish, or meditation for all of your life, for all the times, for the future, for the past. But have you ever thought, perhaps, of sending specific benevolence for specific things into your future? Let's say something is coming. And you would say, well, I hope when I get there, it's going to be all right. So you'll gather your friends and pray for yourself. But you don't understand at that point. You didn't understand. You're praying for peace so things will be okay. Why not pray for the event in a way that you never have before? You're going to send solutions on that track in advance because you're able to. And that solution you're going to do in advance because you can. So it isn't about hoping for synchronicity or saying to yourself, I see myself healed or any of those things. You are sending the healing forward. And so you know it's there. There's no question. It's there. So it's not about if. It's not about synchronicity. It's about not a hope. It's about sending it forward and then walking the track and arriving there. That's different. It's a new paradigm. It's something that is so difficult to describe to those who live linear lives. You may say, well, Brian, I've been doing that for a long time. I always pray for myself in the future. Yeah, but you're doing it now. Have you really understood any of this? Take the energy of your soul and all that you are and understand that ahead of you is known territory. You don't know it linearly. You know it spiritually. You know in physics that time track is one you've been on before. Therefore, you're going to take your soul, your life, all that you are, the benevolence, the love, the compassion, and you're going to take it ahead in time and put it on the track. And you've just created a future for yourself that is real. Because you can. Someone in here needs to hear that. Who doesn't understand that they're healing can be accomplished right now, in this now, on the train, in a way you hadn't conceived of it before. If this is you, let's get together right now in coherence, the entire group. And I want you to project with me, in coherence, anyone in trouble in this audience with their health, with their consciousness, with their grief, with their mind. I want you to create that individual without knowing their name or seeing them in your mind as completely and totally healed. Now, they're the same individual, but I want you to somehow split their soul, because a soul is multidimensional and can be in so many places at the same time. There's no problem with that. So go ahead and make that in your mind happen, a duplication of who they are. And in your mind, I want you to take it forward. Now, don't decide how far. I want you to put it on their track and your track in coherence. You can do this as a group. They're with you in this because right now they're saying, this is what I came for. This is what I wanted. I have old souls all working together, doing something I didn't know could be done. It's different than having a healing today. It's about planning the healing in the future because it's already there. Because you have just put a healed individual on that track. That's them. Having recovered completely from what it is today that's bothering them. And together you're placing that ahead of the train. Even while the train is in motion. Now I want the group to come back. You're still on that train, and I want you to celebrate what's going to happen when they get to that place and realize that everything we have done today is real. That is a new paradigm of your abilities in a higher consciousness with more awareness of doing something you don't understand yet, but you will. That makes such a difference. And when you group understand what you've done, I dare you to do it for yourself. You may feel comfortable doing it for them. And in a group of coherence, it is something perhaps you say, well, that was a good exercise. Well, now let's do it individually for you, right now for you. I want you to sit there and do it for yourself with me. How do you see yourself the way you want to be? Whether it's healed or peaceful, whatever it is that would make you more benevolent and able to work better on this planet with others, slower to anger, more compassionate, whatever it is, I want you to see that soul with your name on it. I want you to project it on the time. I want you to split out of yourself in a way that only you can do with your head and your mind and your consciousness, and see yourself in the mirror in that perfect way and put it on the track that's circular, that you've been there before, that you're headed for again, and you will arrive there. And that track where you're putting yourself knows you're there because it knows you. It's seen you before because time's in a circle. You might have had 1,000 lifetimes. It knows you. So it's a friend. You're putting yourself in the future. Do you see yourself sitting there, different from now? If you can do that, the next thing I want you to envision is you move to the front of the train. And now you're watching the track. And you're smiling in expectation day by day. No more worry. No more fretting. Part of what you're experiencing is synchronicity with others. You have to, because that is going to align with that soul called you that you're going to meet on the track. You're about to meet yourself. And in the front of the train, I want you to look ahead in your vision, and you will start to see it coming. And when you start to see it coming, you see yourself completely and totally different, the one you created a moment ago, different. You're the first car. You're looking at it. You see yourself smiling at yourself as it sees you coming at you. And then there's the melt. And the healing is done. And you realize what you have done would be impossible to describe to anybody who is not in this meeting. That you've created a model and you have affirmed who you are and you put it into the future on a track of time that exists who knows you. In that you have not just affirmed who you are, but you've created a reality to come. That's new. Dear ones, these kinds of things I will continue to bring you. If you sat here and didn't understand anything, if you sat as one who is tired and perhaps slept through it, all of that is okay. Because at some level, everything I have said to you has gone into that beautiful place called your soul. And when you need to hear it again or see it again or work with it, it's going to be available. And part of the reason is because you took the time to sit here and listen or be in the chair. The intent is everything. You've come for the new tools. I have presented some. And even without understanding, it has gone into a place where you'll be able to use them someday. Oh, there's more. Oh, there is so much more. There's how to get into yourselves, not just talk to them. How to get inside of them. How to work with the things you need to work with. How to conquer grief. All of these things, they're coming. Using tools you haven't thought of. Only available by those who are old souls and are willing to work with the spark. I tell you these things today. It is an advanced group that I sit before. I tell you these things today because these are the things you wanted to hear. That your soul asked for. I know who's here. Because you've got a soul who knows so much more than you, who feels what's coming and wants to be part of that reality called linear humanity. Go from this place, perhaps confused, but know that at some time, at some level, the confusion will snap into clarity, and you'll be able to do these things in this lifetime that you needed to do. And so it is.